Following Up is our new Without Borders podcast series, where we explore the world of media through the eyes of journalists. Join us as we deep dive into journalists' careers, uncover their daily working lives, the priorities and challenges they're facing, and how they're adapting to today's changing media landscape. Each episode, the media specialists at Taito are putting journalists in the hot seat and delving into the topics and stories that they really care about and getting the inside scoop on best practice for media relations.
In today's episode, we are joined by Stein Rössens, producer and editor for science, tech and innovation at Business News Radio. As the first media organization to offer podcasts and on-demand audio, BNR has become a trailblazer in business podcasting in the Netherlands. Every day, professionals and decision makers tune in to stay up to date on the latest in technology, work, entrepreneurship, economics, and business. Steins oversees the presentation, editorial direction, and production of Op de Zaak, a podcast that spotlights Dutch SMEs that have turned their businesses into real success stories. Before joining BNR, he was a presenter and editor of a weekly radio science show for NTR, where he and his co-host invited scientists to take a deep dive into their research. I am Pauline, director of media at Taito, and I'm joined by Bastian, who is also a director of media here at Taito. Welcome to Following Up, Stein.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Perhaps to start with, I wonder if you can maybe give a bit more of any more information, a bit of an overview of your background, of what your journey to becoming a radio producer has been.
Yeah, so it actually didn't start really with radio or audio. I was a video editor. I worked for a tech brand a media brand focusing on tech. It was called Bright, and they are very big on YouTube as well in the Netherlands. And I made the videos for them. And after that, I thought, yeah, I want to be more in journalism, more in depth, instead of only making the videos. I wanted to do more with the part of storytelling. And so I did a master in journalism, and during my master's, I already worked at BNR to make podcasts as well about innovation. So I've always been tech-minded, science and innovation, everything that's with news about tech brands, but also everything new in the world. Before I worked full-time at BNR, I worked for Radio 1. It's the national radio station in the Netherlands. And I had a radio show in the night from 2 to 5. Well, everybody was sleeping. I was on the radio one night a week. And I was interviewing scientists for 1.5 hours. 90 minutes long, and it was very nice to do for 2 years, but it's very nice to work on normal times as well. Yeah, during the day.
Yeah, it would be nice to be able to catch up on sleep like everyone
exactly
else.
Yes.
So as you might have guessed it from my Dutch accent, I don't speak Dutch, so I don't have the chance to listen to your podcast. So I wonder if you can tell us a bit more about your show, what type of stories or content you tend to broadcast, and also like maybe what resonates the most with your audience.
Yeah, so I do a lot of different things at BNR. I'm mostly a tech journalist, doing the latest tech news on the radio, but I also have a podcast. It's called Op de Zaak, you already said, where I visit businesses, small and medium businesses in the Netherlands, with my colleague Anne-Marie. And we talk about how they try to grow their business, how they everything they see along the way, what they learn from all those things, and it's a lot about innovation as well. And I do the editorial work for a radio program called BNR Better. And it's called about health innovation in healthcare in the Netherlands. And then it's also about changing the landscape. So making things better in terms of technological innovation or doing things another way. So innovation is a big part of what we do at BNR, but we have like three big topics. So it's about economics, it's about geopolitics, and it's about innovation. I think those three things are very big in what shapes the world right now. And these are things that our listeners, so they are like entrepreneurs, business people, they want to know about. They want to know about the latest news. They want to learn things about how they can grow their own company. And they want to know new things, the things that are happening at the forefront of innovation. That's what we focus on with BNR.
Yeah, I'm sure it must be a very important and interesting guide for all those business leaders to kind of navigate the world we live in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a big part for us is as well, it should be like on the same level as the listener, and it doesn't have to be that businessy in how we bring it. So it's everything we bring is, it's also like personal or with a little bit of humor, with some swung in it. It should be nice to listen to and not really only about the information.
Yeah, that's actually a nice segue to my next question. Wonder if you had any advice to give to spokesperson or company that would like to be featured in your show. Like what makes a compelling spokesperson? So I'm guessing you mentioned like anecdotes, but do you have any like tips that you can share?
If I talk to spokespersons, I think it's mostly I go to them for first line news. And if I need someone else, of course, for something. And I think what we need most is we want experts, people who are very good at specific topics to talk about, to bring the people knowledge with the news. Should be a good talker, of course. Give some good anecdotes from for people to get to know what we're talking about here in the news. And it's about explaining, give some explanation with what's happening. That's, I think, most important with spoke people, to bring, like a bridge, because as a journalist, when I'm on the radio, I always try to bring my view to it, but I'm not the expert. I am only trying to translate what an expert is saying. And if an expert can tell it on their own way, and it's also still good to listen to, it's great. Great to have.
Yeah. And that's something we're going to cover later on. But obviously in the age of AI now, having access to expert that really knows their topics is becoming more and more important.
Yeah. I had the night show on the radio. And we also talked to scientists, and scientists are the experts, of course. Yeah. But it was very hard to find an expert, so a scientist that can also tell about their work in a good way that everybody knows about it. So I think, when in science communication, this is a very big thing. How can I talk about the difficult topic in an easy way? And I think this is something. We don't really need this at BNR because BNR, it's also, we communicate already in a high level. It's for people who already know a lot, but it's still very good if you can bring something to the audience in a very easy way.
Yeah, like almost like how would you explain this to your grandmother or someone completely far away from what you're doing on your day-to-day.
And even I am not the best at that. So it's very hard.
It's hard, yeah. It's hard for everyone. And so what's the biggest or most memorable story you've ever worked on why?
Today is election day in the Netherlands. It's only 2 years ago that we had our last elections. So we had some very chaotic time in the politics in the Netherlands. And 2 years ago, I did my night show on the radio, Radio One. And I had the election night as my show. So this was a very big deal. And of course, we had to do something with the politics. And we had a political scientist who was an expert on populism and far-right political movements. And he was a great speaker. And he really brought us along the way. He had a really, really busy night because he already had to explain all the election results on the TV shows in the evening. And he got to us after that, and then he got to talk about the same story again. But he did it on a very good way, and during the night there came new results in. And I think this was a very very nice moment for me. I was still a beginning presenter as well. A very memorable moment for me. And really right now with the elections, it's very nice to see where we're going right now. Well, nice. Well, it's good to see.
Yeah. And thank you for reminding our auditors that, yeah, of course, it's very chaotic in the Netherlands or in France. So I'm sure maybe there might be another election coming up
soon. We know
enough.
That as well.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll see what the future brings.
We'll see.
Exciting times. As PR professionals, we are also wondering how we can better work with you, Stein. And first of all, perhaps the question, I was wondering, how many of the guests you have on the podcast or on the radio show are approached by you, and how many are based on offers you receive from PR people or the experts themselves?
A good question. I think it's a mix. I do get a lot of good invitations from PR people, but it's also, I think, my job to let them come through and inspire me, but also find my own way of telling a story. So I think PR is very important because it also helps me as a journalist to find a way and get new stories to me. But you get so many PR as a journalist that sometimes it's too much. And you get a little bit like, okay, I'm going to do it myself. for instance, for Being Our Better, it really depends on the information from the inside. So the nurses or people with a good research in science, we need them to find us as well, because I'm not in the universities. I am not in the hospitals, for instance. So we do have to find a way to find these stories, and I think that's where PR really helps us. For some other content, so like my podcast on Op de Zaak, I really don't want PR people, because I want to really find the pure offices, the pure businesses that have a story but are not always told everywhere, because that's not how it works. It should be something that's something a little bit smaller than all what PR people try to bring.
Really, that surprises me that you say that you usually don't accept any offers. Was there never a pitch that was on point, that had a relevant story, that was from the right sized business?
Yes, there are. For Op de Zaak, we only have like 6 episodes right now, so it's not the biggest, because it's a monthly, so we do it like for half a year right now. And I do get some people from businesses who send me messages, can I be on your podcast, or this is why you should be coming here. And of course, I'm reading them, and I have my ideas about it. And sometimes I think, okay, this is a good idea, but is this right now the one I want to do, or I'm going to put it on my list and think about it later? Because if you are going to a place with someone who is very PR structured, it's not going to be the best podcast. It can be, but I see this in Being Our Better as well. I just had a conversation with someone from a bigger company, and it was a preparation talk, also on a video call. And there were like two PR people next to him, and he was so muted down in their answers that for a journalist you can't really get the things you want out of it. And I'm not there to bash a company or always bring the details that a company is going to not going to answer. I only want someone that is not only talking about talking with the lines they learned on beforehand. I want something that is from here and not from here. And with PR, sometimes it's too much from here. I do think you do very good work as well, by the way.
I totally know what you mean. Like, if it's too corporate, I think is a good term to describe it.
Yeah, too prepared as well, media trained, they say. And it's not working anymore then.
Yeah, I think media training can also be positive.
It can help,
speakers stronger, but at the same time, if they are too professional, I can relate.
It's not really professional anymore then, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it's boring. In some way.
Yeah.
It can be boring.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's based on a playbook completely, that's the magic, and some spokespeople can like.
And there's also the other side of the story, right? So you also have people that are media trained, there that are having they have a good story, they do prepare this very good with their PR people, and they still are great in their podcast, in the recording, and so there's also another side to this. That's also good to say, but. I feel like in a lot of ways, when you get to a part, I sometimes just skip the PR people, because it's not because I don't want the PR people to be there, but sometimes when you try to reach an expert, the PR person, they're going to talk to the expert and they're going to bring the information to me. I want the information from the experts, because it takes a lot of time, so it's not efficient, and it's not a good way to get new questions. I want to ask them or tell them what I want from them, and then they can give it. And if there's a PR person before or in between, it takes a lot of time and energy to get what you want. And there's the other way around, where you get to the expert and the PR person gets to you as well, and you get to talk with the expert with the PR person next to it. That's fine. That's completely fine. And I think that also works. And I think that's a better way of doing this with journalists. I have a big opinion about this. It's not that big.
That's great to hear. I think, again, it's the case. If it's good PR people, I think sometimes experts don't respond to journalists, for example. And if there's a good PR people, they can also push the experts to actually give feedback and to also push back and say, sorry, but that feedback is not answering the question, or it's boring. Can we work on this to make it more interesting?
Exactly. Two sides on this. Yeah, very totally. Nice.
But
we need you to.
I guess LinkedIn is for you a real game changer to get in touch with people.
Oh, definitely, yes. Not even to get in touch with people, also to find new stories as well. I grew my LinkedIn profile last 2 years, I think, or last 3 years, to a lot of a bigger network, because I get to talk to a lot of scientists, to people in the tech world. And I think it brings me a lot of inspiration of new topics, new ways to look at a subject, and to stay in touch with the best people in your network. LinkedIn is great. I think it's the best social media platform there is right now.
I agree. As you said, you receive probably 1,000 mails a week, and you also have very specific topics you focus on. how do you filter all the noise, and how do you find the interesting nuggets in your inbox?
Yeah, I think it's also having a good connection with the right people. So knowing what you can get from which people. So it's a network thing. And yeah, you do get a lot of emails, but mostly if you get one and you read like the first two sentences of something, sometimes you already know this is not for me, or this is not for me personally. I think that's a big thing. If you are personal as a PR and you're in how you write to someone, I think you get a bigger chance to get something. And at BNR, we have like six or seven people working on tech topics, and it's very hard sometimes to tell to communicate this to the PR, because we all have our connections with some PR companies, and one week I get an email from a PR company that's not from me, that's from my colleague, and the other week he gets an email that's for me. But the PR companies don't really know who to target for this, and internally we're discussing, do we have to have one email address there where all the PR emails are going to, or are we going to be more personal to specific topics that people really know, okay, they have to get me for the gadgets, which is already right like this, and for AI we have someone else. We're still working out how this works better. Because yeah, it's very hard to communicate when you have, well, which people to have within the company for us.
Would it be possible, looking at it externally, to understand that you are the gadget guy, the other person is the AI?
Yeah, but it doesn't really work like this, because I have two colleagues who are doing the tech updates for the news, the big news, and I'm doing it on the Friday. So all three of us need to have the first line news on this. I'm doing healthcare innovation, and one of my other colleagues, he is a presenter of our big technology show. This is about really the Dutch innovation, the startup landscape, all those things. So he's more on those topics, but I need this information as well for my podcast as well. So it overlaps a lot, and that's why we are a team. So we communicate internally, and if I get an email, I send it to my colleague, of course. But sometimes I wish it to be more structured.
So I guess the thing is that the presenter is not the editor who is processing the news, right? So the editor is processing the news and someone else could present it. And that's why from the outside, it's not clear who would be the right person.
That's one reason. It's also that we are just with six people doing almost the same thing, but not really the same thing. And sometimes I just don't get that one of my colleagues is getting invited for a press for an event for a new gadget. But I do this for 2 years already, but he's still in the context list. But I'm also in the context list. So how do you? And we always we say it to the people, but to the companies, but it doesn't change. So it's and the PR people change as well, of course. So it's also a little bit, yeah. It's I think it's a process, and it will always be something that you have to work with in this way.
How what is the right way to get your attention? Is it more like starting with a nice intro, introducing yourself, or is it going in with the topic, with a bold point of view to catch your attention immediately?
Topic is most important, but I think if you have a personal connection with someone, it's also the way you reach someone. If you call someone, you get a lot more attention, I think. If you send an email, it might be reply to a little bit later, or you will not reach the right person, something like that. I think it's really about personal connection between the people. Not too much, because as a journalist, you want to stay on your own and have your own opinion about things or have your own research. But giving a topic, maybe even giving it, giving something exclusively to someone, that will bring attention, and that will work better than sending an English language email which is targeted to everybody. Well, it will be somewhere in my next inbox. Maybe I'm having a look at it because I think it's an interesting topic, but it doesn't get the attention I think it needs sometimes. And it should be, I think Tito is doing this already. It should be focused on which news does this medium bring. So we are focused on business news, on economics, on innovation and technology. But our target audiences is C-level. So it's the corporate people. And I think this is the news that our listeners want to hear. And I think that's also an interesting way of thinking, okay, I'm sending this to this medium because these are the target audience and this news works with that.
So in the recent Tech 500 list, where you feature in the top 50 in the Dutch ranking,
top 100.
You're seeing the rise of the multi-affinite influence. So essentially, like, journalists who are able to extend their authority across a different platform, from LinkedIn, as we mentioned, Substack, even sometime TikTok. So mm-hmm. Wonder if you could say a little bit about how you managed to find your voice and reach a bigger audience, maybe outside of the common.
Yeah. I was surprised to be in the list. I'm also flattered, of course, but I think there are a lot of good people in the Netherlands that have a lot of influence in tech. We have a lot of big CEOs or startups that have a lot of influence also in the politics as well, and. Well, for me, I'm starting in this scene. I work here for like maybe 7-8 years in tech, and as a journalist, maybe for 4 years now. And it's a very small it's a very small sector, but it's still you talk about so many things because it's connected to everything in what we do in the world. AI, for instance, it's doing everything. It has to do with geopolitics. It has to do with economics. It does so many things. So I think tech as a subject is getting bigger and bigger and more influential, and I'm growing with this. And it's therefore also very hard to be an expert on tech in the broad sense, because it's such a big thing already. When I have my tech updates, for instance, I have to talk about the small gadgets or the new innovation, but also about China and and the United States discussing the new chips, or Nexperia in the Netherlands. All those things, they are such big subjects, geopolitical subjects, that are not really my profession, but I have to bring it.
Yeah, it's all interconnected.
Yeah, so talking about the influence, I think we do have a very big as BNR. I think that's also a very. I'm very happy to work at BNR because it really brings the connection to the C-level audience, the people who are influential, listen to our radio station and they listen to our podcast. So the things we do and make already do a lot for those people. And I think that's a key point there. And my colleagues are very important because they bring me to places, they connect me to people, they know someone that can help me. And I think that's a very, very important part of growing in this.
Yeah, I think it's great to be able to work, you know, with the sector of tech,
yes,
because really have a front seat on the development of this world. And yeah, it does really make dinner conversation more interesting.
Yeah,
I find.
It's an amazing field, and there are so many people who really want to make the best of it, and and are very ambitious on their goals. And I think, and I have my my fascination for science, of course, and science and tech, they are so connected, and they really stimulate each other. There, we have a lot of science startups that do things in medtech, do things with AI in the Netherlands. We have a battery company growing right now, and it's very nice to see the small companies like finding their way to be more influential and doing journalism about those topics. I think that's very nice.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm still wondering from a Dutch perspective, ASML is of course like your superpower, right? In the tech landscape right now.
Yes, it is our superpower. And it's also very, we really, sometimes we, as the Netherlands, we don't know how are we going to do this. It's such an important place. Do we have to listen to the US? Do we have to listen to China? Do we have to listen to both? It's very interesting to follow. Yes. And not even only ASML. It's all the companies around ASML that do everything as well. Yeah. What was your question, Bastian?
Oh no, exactly that take. From the outside, ASML looks really big, and as you said, with the geopolitical background, it's super interesting, and you should protect it. And
definitely,
yeah.
So I already said we have the election right now, and in our scene, it's also very important to vote on someone who has digital and AI and innovation in mind. And I think that's really not on top of many political programs right now, but we do see a lot of people in our field who are really fighting to have that more important in politics. I think the Netherlands in the political scene, it is an important factor, but we don't really recognize it yet, and it should be more. We should be more proud of it and protect it. Yes, I think that's really important.
Perhaps to go back to my previous question, maybe touching more upon, you know, the development of podcasts, newsletters, other social platforms that really seem to have reached a tipping point recently. And, you know, sometimes those new outlets match or even outperform traditional outlets in terms of reach and engagement. So I wonder if you had any kind of perspective on this, and maybe more specifically, like, what do you think is driving this shift?
I think it's a couple of things. I think news on its own, sources for news, they are very fragmented, and on social media, it's more and more becoming about clicks and attention rate and all those things. Which makes emotional engagement also a key driver for a lot of content. On the other hand, I think it's also very good that, for instance, a lot of companies are doing their own podcasts, because it's a way for a company to tell their story on their own and build an audience and build like a fan base, for instance. I think that's a very important thing for some businesses, not everything. Some businesses also just need B2B people. But it's a really, really nice thing. And I hope podcasts will stay as a media outlet for people, small and for business, small and big businesses, and also for us. I think for us, it's a way we do radio, of course, in the basis. But for us, for also it's, for instance, for us, it's also a way to find new people that maybe already should have been listening to our radio station and think this is interesting, but don't have the time of don't do radio because they go to YouTube or things. And our podcasts are building that bridge. And they're also a way of making the first line news and building the background on it. So going deeper into a topic, it's a really good way to do that. So I mean, I think it's very interesting. And yeah, on what is that shift doing? How is that shifting? It's also because our time is very small. We have not that many time in a day, and podcast is something you can do while doing something else. So yeah. It's so easy. I love podcasts also to listen to. Mostly same about tech subjects.
I always like to listen to podcasts when I do something else. So yeah, completely relate to what you just said. And so if we now move on more and focus more on AI, on the impact AI has had, for instance, with, you know, Google AI overviews or, you know, OpenAI recent browser, are you navigating this shift at BNR? And do you have any concern on how your content is used or shared by those AI tools?
We are talking a lot about it on our news shows, in the tech update as well. We cover a lot of how the big tech companies are moving in this direction of pushing AI to everybody. I'm not sure if it's a good thing. I do use it myself. I think it's a very, very great tool to make my work better, do better journalism, because it's a very nice way to structure big sets of information, to do research. So in that way, I think it's awesome, and it should be evolving more and more in this direction. But it's also really changing the way we consume our news. I think, for instance, with the coming of the video generators, Sora and VO3 from Google. Right now I'm scrolling on like social media, and I see videos. Just the other day, my girlfriend showed me a video. She said, "Oh, look, it was about like a cat or something. It's not that really important." But I said, "Yeah, this is an AI video." And even I don't really recognize it anymore. And I think something that I'm really worried about, that this is going to influence how we see the news and how we see our society. And it's getting more and more real. And that's very, very difficult to give a place. So I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's there, and it goes so quickly as well.
It's not going to stop. It's going to be worse. And the other hand, I really am a tech enthusiast. I love the way that it is innovating, of course, but it's a very two-sided thing. For news and AI on itself, yeah, I think also it can help a lot of businesses also in maybe finding a way. For instance, it's getting harder and harder to reach audiences because everybody gets their own news. And I think AI can also make it easier to structure news for people personally. So if you have news written in a journalistic way, you can maybe rewrite it so people can understand it better. People are more attracted to read it or to listen to it. For instance, the text-to-speech algorithms, they are getting better and better. And it's getting, you know, if I get to listen to a lot of news articles, maybe I'm going to read more. But that's one part. And the other part is, of course, more and more AI content about nothing, about just nonsense. So we have to be critical about it or skeptical, but also embrace it more and use it for the right ways. If we're not using it for how we can use it, it's going to be used for how we don't want to be used. So yeah, it's interesting.
Definitely.
I think this is super interesting also in relation to the peak social media that that recently made the headlines that we achieved, that now less people are using social media than in the past. So very exciting how this will look like with AI, right? When do we reach that peak, and what is the world looking like when we reach it?
Definitely, yeah. We had this in the Netherlands like 20 years ago. We had this big social media platform called Hives. And this was our pre-Facebook area. And it was, if you ask Dutch people, it was better than Facebook. It was better than everything. But everybody moved, like in 1 year, everybody moved to Facebook from Hives. And Hives, it no longer exists. But if I watch back to that period, I think it was such a iconic moment that we had our own regional social media platform before it got toxic, saying it like that. And I actually sometimes I wish that we stayed on Hives and that we kept it our own, our Dutch platform. But yeah, in another way, I think, and to answer your vision, I think after social media, there will be something else that will also be worse in some way. So we have new things that we have to worry about. For instance, Sora and its platform, it's not really social media, maybe it is. But in another way, it's going to bring us new things. And that's also exciting.
Let's go to the last question. We want to ask you for advice. You are, of course, no PR professional.
No, definitely not.
Really admire your perspective on things. So we've been wondering, with the development in AI that we see, with the changes in the media landscape, with the evolving audience behavior, what should PR teams be thinking about right now to make their strategy future-proof?
I was thinking about this question, and I really think it has to be on a focus on personal connection. I already talked about it in this podcast. You see, PR is also about creating big hypes, about creating viral content. But I think if you work for a company and you have to bring a story to an audience, I think it's about making your audience trust your brand, trust a brand. And that's going to work if it's personal. If you try to reach the audience on a personal level, find a way in which the brand you're working for connects to the person you're reaching in a personal level. And that's also more valuable. And also in the long term, I think it's working better. And all the brands that I have a personal connection with on a business perspective, but also on a personal perspective, I think I will most likely be the one to go to that brand. And that starts with more personal PR, of course. And it's also focusing on, and also already said this, what content is best for what medium. So I have this news, which part of, is it BNR I'm going to reach, or is it someone else, more local or more regional, or maybe even an influencer on the social media platform, could also be. And I hope it's going to be less on creating buzz, because we are done with buzz. Buzz is everywhere. Every medium wants to have buzz created. And for a journalist, that's not what we want. We want information that is trusted, and personal in that way.
Great last words. No more buzz, please.
No more buzz. Maybe a bit. Yeah, there can be buzz, of course. Otherwise, it would be boring. But I think it's going to work better without buzz.
Yeah, so the right amount of buzz. That's what we want.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Saint, for giving us an insight to your world. It was just a fascinating conversation, especially your view on how podcasts can help outlet like BNR to reach to new listeners. So thank you so much for joining and goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Following Up is a Without Borders podcast series produced by pan-European B2B tech PR and communications agency Taito. You can find every interview on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode.